And I developed this like audacity of I can try big things because I saw someone doing something bigger than me.
Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it. Hello and welcome back to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. With me, excited to have Mandy McAllister. Mandy, how are you doing today?
Oh, hi, living the dream. Thanks for having me, Todd.
Living the dream. I love it. And I'm glad you're living the dream. Mandy is a multifamily real estate investor, mindset ninja, and connector. She spent the bulk of her career in medical device sales, chasing cases and commission checks. And in 2021, Mandy left her W-2 to lean on the financial independence she built through real estate investing. And Mandy now serves as the CEO of GoBundance Women, a tribe of healthy, wealthy, generous women who choose to lead epic lives. And along with that, she currently has a portfolio comprised of 373 doors of B-class workforce housing, some student housing, and a motel that we had the enjoyable time talking about. But with that said, Mandy, anything else you want to talk about your background and kind of what you're doing today?
You know, the thing that I spend the most time doing today is helping to build GoBundance Women, the chance to be next to other people doing the stuff that you're doing makes you feel less crazy and makes you go further faster when you see examples of things that you could, you know, aspire to. So that is how I spend the bulk of my days right now.
I think a lot of people know what GoBundance is. Certainly a lot of my listeners know what GoBundance is, but give us a quick breakdown of GoBundance and what it is. And of course, you know, the women's tribe that you're helping build out.
Totally. So the tribe of healthy, wealthy, generous people who choose to lead epic lives, right? The tribe of millionaires. And, you know, if you believe the adage that 90% of all millionaires become that way because of real estate, you would anticipate that 90% of the tribe of millionaires has some sort of toe in the water with real estate. So we do tend to be very real estate investor heavy, regardless of if you have another business that you just built wealth with real estate. But the, you know, there's pillars that we live our lives by in GoBundance. And yes, it's about financial freedom, but it's about so much more than that. It's about how connected are your relationships? Are you giving back in a way that feels really authentic to you? Are you going on adventures? You know, what's your body like? Are you paying attention to all of the things that matter for a really well-rounded life in addition to having your head down and building that?
Yeah, love that.
Love that.
So with a, what, like, why is it important? Why did you feel connected to, you know, something like GoBundance? Like what drives you to be a part of that group and just making something like that important in your life?
You know, I'm a farm kid from a town of 800 people, Todd. And it, you know, when I recognized that, oh, wait, that girl is going to play volleyball in college. Maybe I can too. And I developed this like audacity of I can try big things because I saw someone doing something bigger than me. Mm. And I realized that when I wanted to go bigger than the 4 and 6 unit properties that I was buying, that if I just got next to people doing those bigger things, then I would see the path more clearly. So I believe firmly that you're given two arms for a reason, right? One to absolutely pull people up with you, but the other one to use to pull yourself up. And the examples that I see time and time again at GoBundance and GoBundance Women is people doing things differently and bigger than me. And I get the opportunity to learn from their wins and their mistakes.
Yeah, that's just so true. I remember, you know, when I was trying to go from buying like single family homes, duplexes, small buildings, right, to go to buy like 100, 200 unit buildings and start syndicating, I was just listening to tons of podcasts from people that were doing it and going to some conferences and things like that. And as I got in that room with those people, it just became like my identity. Like it was just like, it was so easy all of a sudden. And not that it was easy, right? It still took a lot of work, but it be like the language be became like commonplace. I remember hearing about syndications back in like 2010, and I'm like, whoa, just a foreign, such a foreign language. I didn't understand it. It was for super rich people. Like it just didn't make any sense to me. And so I didn't go down that road. And then as I like got basically bombarded with it, it was like, oh, this is easy. Like anybody can do this. I can see myself doing this. I know the language. I know this, but all that kind of stuff. And that's the same thing you're talking about with GoBundance is, look, you're getting together with these amazing women that are doing big things. And some of them might be doing amazing things in business. Some of them also might be doing amazing things in their health or their relationships, their faith, whatever it is. They've got different, everybody's got different strengths they're bringing to the table, and you can feed off of that. And that's what's amazing about a mastermind group like a GoBundance, or there's various other groups out there, but yeah, love it.
I've grown leaps and bounds since I joined. I joined as a member in 2017, I tried to join as a member in 2017. I wasn't able to join until 2020 when the women's division rolled out. And I 100% believe I would not have had the bravery to leave my W-2 if it weren't for having conversations with a bunch of other people who had already done it. I was a single mom earning multiple six figures, and the people who loved me, would say of the thing that was my dream, like, you're being incredibly irresponsible. How could you possibly do that to your child? You need to think about him, And I realized that if I didn't live out my dreams, I wasn't setting the example for him that I wanted to. So the bravery I found because of examples of people doing the type of stuff I wanted to do, no money can buy that.
Yeah, and that is so valuable. Like the way you just said there, where you're being irresponsible, you're whatever. And here's the thing is like nobody's I don't feel like ever anybody that's telling you that advice is meaning
Right.
to say it like they're not meaning to be rude to you, mean to you, like hold you back, that type of thing. They're trying to look out. They think they're looking out for your best interest.
It's what they know.
Yeah, it's what they that's exactly it. It's what they know. But then so you get yourself surrounded with other people who have actually stepped out and done what you would love to do. And you go, okay, this is possible. And they can encourage me. And they can tell me the other thing is like they can tell me what some of the traps are to look out for and that kind of stuff. So it's just so much more motivating to be around that. Like everybody, certain people can qualify to be part of the GoBundance tribe. But other people can't, or maybe you can't afford it, whatever it is. Maybe it doesn't fit in your life at the. How do people get connected though with, how do you find people that are in the, I guess, place that you want to be, like other than signing up for GoBundance?
Yeah, my start there was I started a meetup. I knew I wanted to buy apartment buildings. And I wanted to meet other people who bought apartment buildings. And I thought, ooh, I'm gonna go start a meetup, right? And then I get to scratch my own itch. I get to be the one asking the questions of the people that I meet that are doing the things that I wanna do, or the 1031 exchange specialist, or the agency debt lender, or whatever thing I want to learn about. I get to be the one asking the questions and I get to scratch my own itch. And then when it came to wanting community with other like high performing women, I just found on the internet, I started a Facebook group and I found a bunch of other women who wanted the type of motivation and support and peer group that I wanted to build. And we just started the 5 or 10 of us would show up for an accountability group every Friday. You can construct these things for free, but you can also then just buy into a pre-curated group of badasses that have all of the things in place. You can do it. It takes a lot more work.
Yeah, for sure. How do you get the most out of something like a GoBundance or just a meetup that you started? How do you get the most of it?
So much of that type of thing is you get out of it what you put into it. So it's if you come in and you're not challenging yourself to be anything other than a wallflower, if you are not the one engaged in the conversation working to change your own mind, working to learn things to have your own point of view and whatever the thing is you're talking about, you're not going to squeeze all the juice out of it, right? So I think getting involved fully, whatever that means to you, and then asking for accountability where you need accountability. I, to this day, send a text message to my pod mate Monday morning at 8 a.m. so that she gets to the gym, you know, because she wants that accountability. And I'm gonna mail a check that she sent, she wrote out to a political party she doesn't like, that I'm gonna mail it if she doesn't get to that workout, right? So asking for what you need and getting involved, I think, are the two keys.
Yeah, I love that. What you and when I introduced you, you have that you are the mindset ninja. What is that?
I completely made it up, Todd. That's what it is. I really feel like that if there's anything that you're thinking that is not serving you, if you can reframe it, if you can just do a little ninja trick on that reframe, then everything looks different. It's a total Tony Robbins hack job. But if you're looking at, you know, if you had a hard childhood and you can look at it like, I wouldn't be the woman I'm proud to be without that hardness, then, you know, it feels a lot different. So what are you maybe letting you hold? What story are you letting hold you back that you might be able to just reframe slightly and look at it in a way that it really serves you?
Yeah, we all tell ourselves all these kind of lies. I've actually been doing I did a podcast on like the lies we tell ourselves, and then I've been doing like Facebook lives on like breaking it down. And we just have these stories that we tell ourselves. And I don't know, half the time I don't even know why like you tell yourself that story. It's probably something that happened in childhood. Like who I don't know. Something that we learned it along the way somewhere. We just tell this story to ourselves that is a bunch of BS, right? We do it all the time. Do you have like a hack? Like how do you change that story? Like is there anything that you do?
Yeah, the question I ask myself, I love a focusing question. And the focusing question on that is, you know, how could this serve me? How could I use this to serve me? Whatever the thing is, like I, you know, starting in multifamily real estate when I did, there were like zero women. Like either there were very,
Yes.
very few women in the room. And when I chose to look at it, I could have chosen to look at it like, oh, I'll never make it. I'm just a girl from a small farm town, right? Or I could choose to look at it like, oh, wait, I'm the only one that looks like me. I'm gonna get listened to in a way because I get to speak up and my ideas heard because I'm the only one who looks like me. You know, how can I get this to serve me?
Yeah, that is, I love that. I do some coaching and I've coached some women and I'm like, look, you have a superpower. Like there's just not a lot of women in the industry. So use that to your full advantage and be the woman that every other woman trusts and they look to for advice and they're like, this gal here is the gal I want to see, I want to talk to, and you're going to attract some men too. They're like, this woman is just superwoman. Like I want to connect with her. Right. But if you use that to your strength, you're going to do well. The fortunate thing is a lot of people do what you said is they're like, nobody else is a woman. You know, the men are going to look down upon me. When I talk with contractors, they don't take me seriously because I'm a woman. And it's like, you know, you certainly have some of that. It's not that it's not there, but you can't let those people hold you back. The people that are going to be like, ah, I'm not going to take this woman serious because she's a woman. Screw them.
Yeah, that's not the
Right?
people worth knowing, right? And
Exactly.
you can let that be the story that wins, or you can change the story that you
100%.
want to live, you know?
100%. And that's the same for anybody. You can create that story. So I love that. Like what's holding you back and how can this actually serve to my benefit? Not how can I keep on telling this negative story over and over and over and letting it hold me back? 'Cause that's just what we do a lot. You love JV deals. What, talk about how you set those up and why you like them.
Yeah, so I kind of grew up with a group that was doing syndications, because you know when you want to add a zero to the end of the number of units you're buying, you don't want to add a zero to the number or to the issues that you create for the project, right? Well, I realized a couple of things early on in multifamily. I had a bud who was a syndicator, went the syndication route, and I asked him, "Well, how do you know when you're going to leave your W-2? Like, how do you?" We both did medical sales. It was all very, we were aligned. And he said, "Well, all I got to do is this deal and that deal, and then I get that acquisition fee and that disposition fee, and then all I got to do is four deals a year, and I can leave my W-2." And I thought, "Oh my God, what if there aren't four deals we're doing? What if interest rates spike up in a way that you wouldn't ever have imagined? What if inputs and labor start costing you double and triple and 12x what they cost before? What are you going to do there? Are you going to sell people deals that suck?" Right? Like that scared me. That idea
Those
made me
things
really,
would never happen, though,
that
would
would
they?
never happen, Tom. That made me really nervous. That didn't feel like a level of certainty. Like I needed some level of certainty, especially with the voices of, "But you're being irresponsible leaving this job," in the back of my head, right? So what I chose to do, especially because those syndications, they tend to be the exits in the last decade have been like 3, maybe 5 year exits, right? So you don't juice anything for cash flow. Like you ostensibly kind of flip it. You increase the NOI significantly, and then you take it for what it's worth, right? So what I decided to do kind of in that moment with the, four deals a year conversation was I needed to build a floor of income. I realized in that moment that it was a math problem, that all I needed to do was come up with enough cash flow coming in that I could rely on. And I saw that scale would get me there quicker. So maybe if I found other people who wanted to do these deals to own them for the long term for the cash flow, then I would be far more able to execute that plan with two partners who were going to be active in the deal with me versus 50, passive investors who were trained basically to want their money back in 3 and 5 years. So one big thing that informed that was the length of the business plan so that I could have a floor of income. And actually, I made a little calculator that helped me figure out that math problem. How much money did I need coming in so that I could take that leap of faith and bet on my dreams? It's a freebie on my website. I'll get you the link.
Cool. That's awesome. I love that. I think that is such a smart way of looking at things. Kind of what I did, but I wasn't as thoughtful as you, certainly, about it. You really thought that out, and I really like how you thought that out. And I love that you didn't take this four deals a year and run with it and just say, yeah, that makes sense. You actually thought about, well, wait a second. What if I can't do four deals a year? Because it's so important as a syndicator not to have to force deals. If you have to force deals, that's how you get into big trouble. And it's easy enough to get into a property and get upside down. And man, when you have to force a deal just to continue to pay the bills, oh boy. I mean, you're looking at staring at disaster when the economy shifts, when the market shifts, which it has. So I love building that floor of income through cash flow, looking at real estate. Look, real estate is a powerful tool. It's a powerful tool because of the cash flow. That's why real estate has created so many millionaires. It's not because we can flip the properties. It's because you can buy it, you can hold it, you can cash flow it.
Well, I call this getting paid once thing. You can exchange your time for dollars. You get paid once on that. That's one time money. You can flip a house. You get paid on that once. You can sell a house. You get paid on that once. But if you set up something that is going to pay you every month forever, that is forever money, right? So if you set up enough of that forever money, then you can go do whatever you want. I do syndicate. I have syndicated, but I did it after I built that floor of income.
So it's not necessarily an either or, and I do syndicate as well, right? It's not an either or, it's a both. But it's setting up that floor of that cash flow income. And probably you're still trying to continue to grow that, I would imagine, right?
Oh, absolutely. We've done a lot of things in the portfolio that we own to be able to take out capital. We did a cash out refinance, which was
Love that.
probably the most beautiful deal we've ever done. Actually, let me tell you about that one real
Yeah, I'd
quick.
love to hear it.
We bought a 47 unit. It was all studios in LaPorte, Indiana, out of receivership for $640,000.
Oh, wow.
And nothing, right? Yeah, you know I love a bargain. So a developer friend saw that this was incredible, but he didn't have the liquidity. So four other active investors came in, and we bought for cash that deal and got a $1.1 million construction loan. So ostensibly all in, we had a 38 unit, now about 2 bedroom apartments. We made them larger and
Okay.
reduced the number of apartments. It's a kind of a tertiary market, so it made more sense to have bigger places. And it then reappraised once we leased up at 3.8. So we took out every penny we had, and now we have a Fannie Mae 12-year loan on it that's locked in at like 3.5. So it like
Wow.
that is the dream. You do that 3, 4, 5 times, and you can live like Warren Buffett, you know?
Yeah, that is, I think, the forgotten dream. I feel like everybody talks about real estate and the cash flow and the, hey, we're getting paid while we sleep, but then they go and they buy a building and they flip it, right? They hold it for 18 months, 3 years, whatever, and they flip it and they forget the strategy that you just talked about, which is so beautiful. You're buying this building. Now you got to smoking deal for it, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's not everywhere, but even regardless, you can buy a building with some value add, do the renovations, eventually refinance it. Maybe not today's interest rate world, but eventually refinance it, get your money back out, and now you've got your money back out. You can recycle and do it again. Like,
Right.
you know, how beautiful is that? So I love that strategy. You said you do some syndications. Are you taking a long-term approach on your syndications as well with your investors, or is it the shorter term, you know, 3, 5, 7 years?
You know, I have taken a longer term approach on the syndication. Honestly, right now I'm only in one. So the ultimate goal is this deal is working in a really big way, and we have, you know, an assumable loan that's got, you
Nice.
know, 6 or 7 years left
Nice.
until with room to be able to sell off with the loan. So we're just, I like to call it buy and watch, right? Like the thing is, like if I bought something and you want to pay me 20x for it right now,
You're gonna
I
sell
mean,
it.
I've watched and so my kind of personal little rule of thumb that I've created here that might add value to your listeners is if I can capture at least 5 years of the cash flow by selling it today, then it's worth at least considering, right? If it's way more than 5 years worth of that cash flow, then it doesn't necessarily, then it, you know, get rid of it immediately. But if it's less than 5 years, no chance.
I like that. I'd have to think about that. Like, think about how that works out. But I like that you thought about, okay, hey, if we sell this and we got 5 years of captured cash flow, like it makes sense, or 6, 7 years, 8 years, 10 years, like for sure it makes sense, right? Hard to make that back. But if it's just a year or two or, you know, three, like, let's probably hold on to it for longer. I love the idea of longer term syndications. I think, quite frankly, that's going to be well played out over the next couple of years, as people are going to be successful if they take a longer term approach
Your
to their real estate.
IRR is going to reduce pretty significantly. It has to, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the other side of the coin. But like in order to get something to pencil, you're going to have to extend the horizon in today's market, you know?
But look, Mandy, like, who cares what your IRR is? If
Right.
you can take that property and do the value add and refinance, especially if you can refinance and get your investors all their money out, but even if you can get your investors a good chunk of their money out, I don't think anybody's going to be mad with an infinite return on investment after, you know, 5 years or something like that. Like,
Absolutely.
that's what people got to start thinking about, is like, look, where's our plan, and can we potentially refinance this? And I'm not saying underwrite it in, but be thinking about it. Like, how does this look on our deals?
Buy and watch.
Buy and watch. Buy and watch. I'm going to stop using buy and hold and just say buy and watch. I like that. Mandy, what do you do? What's like going on right now in today's market? What kind of deals are you looking at? What are you either excited about, or maybe it's not, or maybe you're not excited about anything, and you're nervous about things. What's kind of your outlook right now?
Well, multifamily on agency debt to hold by myself or with just a few partners will always be my end game, always.
Love it.
But I don't want to do a deal just to like thread the needle. The
Yeah.
beauty of the way I've set this up is I get the chance to sit on my hands if that makes the most sense. So with price discovery not occurring in the last year, 18 months, like we know that it will happen at some point in time. And it's kind of like saying which snowflake caused the avalanche. I have no friggin' clue which snowflake is going to cause the avalanche, but I know that snowflake will cause the avalanche of price discovery happening, and we're going to be able to see deals that are doable again. I don't see necessarily a ton of blood in the streets because the banks weren't as loose as they were in the last time that we had a huge correction. That being said, a thing that I've learned from GoBundance is the people who get to you can white knuckle it to a 10, 20, $30 million net worth, but to get to the 100, $200 million net worth, you need a business component in it, and then take the extra cash flow from that and throw it into real estate. So not necessarily that I want to put in the hustle to become a billionaire, but taking kind of a page from their book, I bought a car wash because I could, instead of if I buy at a four cap, the math on that, follow me here. The math on that is I basically pay $25 for a dollar of cash flow. If the value is NOI over cap, I'm paying $25 for that dollar of cash flow, right? If I buy a car wash, though, I pay $3 for a dollar of cash flow. So if I have this time that I'm sitting on my hands and I don't see anything multifamily that is obvious, why wouldn't I give it a try to run this real estate heavy business? So I bought a 7-bay self-service car wash about 15, 20 minutes from where I live, and that's been a really cool adventure to take on.
Is that just one of those kind of more automated, the kind of the newer style car washes that we're seeing pop up?
This isn't like a t there's kind of two primary things when it comes to car washes. There's the tunnel that you would drive through that's kind of like your Class A building,
Yep.
right? And then there's the spray bays that you get out and you put in the quarters and you spray it down yourself. That's kind of like your C-class building, right? So there will always be a need for those spray bays because landscapers, people who work with their hands, only want to wash their cars themselves. And so what we've been able to find is in an area that has a ton of working class people, a ton of C-class properties, this spray bay Main Street located 7-bay place, we're able to take it, make it prettier. There was a ton of deferred maintenance. It was still only charging $2.75 for 4 or 5 minutes of use. We're making it more beautiful, and we're going to increase that price. And then that means that, NOI or EBITDA, as it's called in the business world, is going to jump along with it.
Love that.
Very excited for that. And also, there's opportunities to use an app-based system to sell subscriptions. The subscription-based model sounds very interesting.
So is the goal on that to continue to build out the car wash business and get more bays, or is it, hey, we're gonna do this one and just kind of see how it goes, or what's the thought on that?
The thing I learned from buying, starting in fours and sixes and then getting into the 50-ish units is, once you get to a certain spot, my, does it get a lot easier because you get the right people to be having
Yeah.
their eyes on the issue. So while the fours and the sixes are a lobotomy, the 50 unit, you can get somebody on it, a couple days a week. So my ultimate goal is to grow this footprint in this area big enough to have one full-time person. We don't have that yet. But then the goal of having that is this engine for cash flow that I'm going to dump into my multifamily for the long term, because that is always my end goal.
Yeah, no, I love that thoughtful approach. You're very many. You're super thoughtful. With
Funny.
you're very thoughtful. I mean, when we talk about, hey, we're gonna build this floor of income through cash flow. Now you're talking about these businesses. Okay, we're gonna buy some car washes. That's our business. We're gonna use that business. And you thought about how do other people go from, yeah, like white knuckling to the 10, the $20 million net worth to all of a sudden getting to that 100 plus million-dollar net worth. It's not necessarily that they built it through real estate. They own the real estate, but they built it through a business that made money that they then put into the real estate. So, I love the thought process, and that you take the time to actually walk through that with us too.
Well, thanks. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, my pleasure.
A couple more questions I want to ask, and so I want to talk about a mistake that you've made, and how have you learned from it? How can you teach our audience something?
How can I get it to serve me?
Yeah.
well, how long ago was this? Like 5, 6 years ago, when I realized that linking arms with people who had gone further than me was something that would get me to go further faster, was an approach I wanted to take. I met somebody who went to my church, and he owned a ton of single family stuff. He wanted to start doing multifamily. I knew multifamily on the 50-ish unit smaller scale stuff, right? And I decided, nope, I'm not going to do a deal, a big deal with you until we've done something small, so that I can say in good conscience that we've done something together before, right? So he was going to buy two single family homes that he had all set up, and I was going to be the capital. He was going to turn around real quick. Anyway, all this to say, I trusted him, and our kids played together, and he went to my church. So I wrote the check for $110,000 for him to buy these two properties, and he never bought the property.
Oh my.
So when you are looking for partners, the way that this serves me now is, one, I get to say this to hopefully help someone else. But now I do background searches on absolutely everybody. A Google search would have helped me understand this guy was a bit of a loser. But being able to do some sort of background search does a couple of things. One, you know if you wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. And then two, you might see that, Todd had a speeding ticket 20 miles over the limit in 1999. And now I get to be like, Todd, why did you get this speeding ticket in 1999, 20 over the limit? And maybe you're going to be embarrassed, and you're going to show me in real life how you show up to a difficult conversation. You're not going to tell me with your words how you think you show up to a difficult conversation. I have just now constructed one that you have to show me with your actions how you. So,
Love that.
background searches, difficult conversations.
Yeah, lo I love that. It's easy to just quickly trust somebody, especially in a relationship like that. They go to your church. You just kind of think, well, if they're churchgoers, you can trust them. They play with their kids play with your kids. Like, of course, I can trust this person. So that it's easy to trust. That's probably my like biggest downfalls. I trust everybody.
Yeah, trust but verify. My
Yeah.
fiance, this is, he brings the appropriate level of cynicism into my life.
I
Oh,
love that. What is a favorite book you can recommend to our listeners?
one that had that really kind of took me from doing quite well to doing much better, that mid to higher range book that has kind of been all the rage in Go Bun and Swimmin' for a while, is The Psychology of Money. Have you read
I
that
love
one?
that. Love that book. It's
My
fascinating.
this Morgan Housel guy, he has a brand new one too that you should check out. But the takeaway from The Psychology of Money that I loved the most was, as you've mentioned, I'm quite a thinker, but that can also manifest as an overthinker. So, rather than needing everything to be perfect and line up, and it's not going to be perfect, you just need to be reasonable enough. So what does reasonable enough look like? And then make the bet.
Yeah, great advice. It's easy to want to be perfect, right? Especially if that's your personality type. Like, I got to have everything just right. I can't make a mistake. And I know a lot of people like that, and they never take action. So it's not going to be perfect. You got to be okay with that. And what does it look? Well, how did you say it? You said it's not going
Reasonable enough.
to be
It, so
reasonable
I feel
enough.
like,
Yeah.
especially in high-performing women, you were probably, you waited your turn and you raised your hand and you got straight A's and 100%, and like you don't know what it's like to fail, right? I know so many women like this, and I'm a recovering one of them,
Yeah.
So instead of needing to be perfect, be reasonable enough.
Yeah, I would say that's a good thing about women, but it's also to a fault, right? To an extent, right? And I think that's true with a lot of women I know. It's like, that perfectionism, almost there, and you don't want to don't want to disappoint people or what it really comes
People
from, but
pleasing. Yeah.
okay, so last question before we wrap up. What are your three pillars of wealth creation?
Put a lot of thought into this. So I think, again, I'm a farm kid, and if I look at, so yeah, I like to think things all the way through. So Maslow's hierarchy of needs, Todd, tells me that the thing that you need is food, shelter, and that you can live your life if you only have food and shelter, right? You can, in fact, live your entire life without a share of a stock. You can, in fact, live your entire life without a Bitcoin. So if I can put my money into something that every human in a growing population is always going to need in an area that I know it's growing in GDP and population and jobs, then I am set up for success in as many ways as possible. So Maslow's hierarchy of needs is the primary one that I kind of stake, hitch my wagon to. A second one is boring is best. I live in Chicagoland, and we saw rents pop like 2x in some cases. And my favorite business partner, actually, I talked him into joining the men's side of GoBundance. One of the brightest multifamily minds I know, Brian Kochendorfer. If you've not met him or had him on, you should. But he does a lot of stuff in Chicago now because they work, right? But I feel like Austin, that balloon, she gonna pop at some point in time. But the boring Indianapolis and the boring, no offense, Minneapolis, like those markets, they just kind of, tick along and there's no surprises. I don't want surprises in my money. And then the last one I would say is, beginning with the end in mind. Like really, for me, it's I want to have as big of an impact on this world as humanly possible and show up in my kids' life in a way that I don't need to be waiting for Dr. So-and-so to come complete this case so that I can get to, help tie-dye t-shirts at the second grade class. I get to, no matter what, show up for my kids.
Love that. Love those. That's great. Look, Mandy, this has been awesome. I love the conversation from the, the mastermind, the GoBundance, getting next to people that are doing bigger things than you, to allow yourself to kind of get out of your comfort zone and get your mind in the right, to the mindset ninja, right? How can this serve me, thinking about things a little bit differently, and then to building that floor of income with your cash flow, getting that set up house in order so you can actually quit your job, and now you're not worried about just getting the next deal, because getting the next deal crushes people quickly. And then the last thing is just building that business so you can continue to grow your net worth and your real estate holdings and continue to build that. So again, really appreciate that. This has been a lot of fun. I love your energy and your attitude. It's great. It's infectious. Mandy, how can people get in touch with you, learn more about what you got going on?
Thanks, Todd. MandyMcAllister.com is the catch-all for all of the things I do. You'll find GoBundance stuff there too.
Cool. Mandy, again, appreciate it. You have a fantastic rest of the day.
Thanks, you too, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much for listening. I appreciate you being a loyal listener. Say, I would love to have you go on to our Facebook page and subscribe, give us a thumbs up, go on to iTunes or wherever you listen and give us a rating and review. Don't forget to subscribe. But your rating and review just helps us push this out to more and more people and continue to grow our audience and hopefully positively affect a ton of people out there that really need this and want this. So the other thing I've got for you is a free ebook on my website. So go on to venturedproperties.com, venturedproperties.com, and download our free ebook on real estate and on syndication. And I've got some data points in there, some really good stuff for you. So I'd love to have you take a look at that. It's free. I'm not expecting anything from it. And also, look, if you want some help in multifamily, want some help learning, growing, getting your business off the ground, I would love to talk to you about what it would look like to work with me potentially and see if that's a good fit. So you can go to
coachwithdex.com and check that out. And we can definitely have a call. Thanks a lot for listening. You make it a fantastic rest of the day. I'll catch you on the next episode.